So I wonder what springs to mind when I say the word freedom. Oh, could we have the slides up, please? Well, one of the most famous symbols of freedom in the world is, of course, the Statue of Liberty. There we go. With the Statue of Liberty, Lady Liberty holds a tablet with the date of the Declaration of Independence in her left hand and a torch to light the way to freedom in her right hand. For Americans, the Statue of Liberty is a very important symbol of freedom. But what does freedom mean to you? Well, over 1,800 years before the Statue of Liberty was gifted to the US by France, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, made a great declaration for freedom, a gift of Christ to the church. Paul writes in Galatians 5:1, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." And we're going to be looking at that freedom that Paul was writing about today. But first, I'd like to introduce you to this young man whose name is Abu Bakar. He's 20 years old and lives in Nigeria. From the age of 9, Abu Bakar had some strange symptoms, and his mother searched for answers for him for years. At the age of 12, he visited a hospital where he finally learnt the devastating truth. He had leprosy. When they heard the word leprosy, Abu Bakar and his mother cried. They cried with fear and worry about the future. What would happen next? All Abu Bakar wanted to do was to go back to school and play with his friends. But instead, he had to stay in hospital for treatment. His life was changed forever, and he feared that he would be enslaved to the disease for the rest of his life. We're going to hear more of Abu Bakar's story a little later. But first, I wonder if you remember a time when you made a new friend or had just started a new relationship and were constantly trying to win that person's approval. Trying to say the right thing, do the right thing, and be the right person for them. That can be pretty exhausting. However, when you realise that this person loved you and accepted you for who you are, it felt different. You wanted to please them, not just try to make them like you, but out of a heart that was freed. No longer were your actions selfish to meet a need in you to be accepted, but selfless to show love and friendship. That feeling of striving had gone. We are only truly free to love God and to love others when we recognise God's love and unconditional acceptance of us in sending his one and only Son, Jesus, to die for us so that we can have an eternal relationship with him. And that starts now. In such a relationship, we recognise that true freedom is to be free from living just for ourselves. In Galatians 5, verse 13, Paul writes, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature." I'm sure that we've all been through times when we've been envious of others, or inappropriately angry, greedy, lazy, etc. I could go on. We can have the overwhelming desire to put ourselves and our emotions first. However, when we genuinely recognise God's love for us, we can let God lead us. Now, I'm going to disclose to you quite an embarrassing story from my childhood, so please don't judge me too harshly for what I'm about to admit. When I was around 7 at my school sports day, I was part of a blindfolded egg and spoon race, which was a bit of an unusual one. So it was an obstacle course, we were blindfolded, we had an egg and spoon, and one person had to do the obstacle course whilst a friend told them what to do. Now, I wasn't the most sporty of children. I've never been that sporty. But I was and still am very competitive. And that's not a very good combination. So when I was blindfolded and I discovered that the scarf that had been used was actually pretty see-through and I could see everything in front of me, I had a choice to make. Did I speak up and tell the truth? Or did I say nothing and cheat? Well, I wonder if you can guess what I did. I have to admit, I decided to cheat. And I thought I was being really quite sneaky, but actually I made it very obvious that I could see everything, because not only was I completely ignoring my friend's instructions, but I was way out ahead of everybody else. And I won the race, but it was very obvious that I could see the obstacles. God knows us completely and sees what we try to hide. But when God puts in our hearts the truth of who Jesus is, we have a choice to make. To listen and obey him, admitting that we are helpless to do good without him, or do we run the race of life in our own strength? I, of course, made the wrong choice and chose to run that race by myself because I thought by cheating I could win. But everyone knew that I had cheated and I was disqualified from the race, and poor little 7-year-old Gabby was absolutely heartbroken and very ashamed as well. That's what happens when we try to go through our lives not relying on God. We can become prisoners to what we want in life, missing out on the amazing life that we could have with Jesus. But wonderfully, Jesus died to set us free from following our own selfish desires, so that we can live lives in an amazing relationship with him. And this freedom we have through relationship with Jesus frees us for something amazing. I'm a big fan of musical theatre, and one of my favourite musicals is Les Miserables. And at the beginning of this musical, and at the beginning of Victor Hugo's novel, Jean Valjean has spent 19 years in prison for stealing a loaf of bread to feed his starving family. When he's released, he has to carry a yellow passport that marks him as a prisoner, so no innkeepers will take him in. And he sleeps on the streets, but a kind bishop takes him in finally. And during the night, Valjean gets up, steals the bishop's silverware and runs off, only to be caught red-handed by the police and brought back to the bishop. But instead of condemning him, the bishop claims that he gave Valjean the silver and even offers him 2 silver candlesticks too. When the police have gone, the bishop tells Valjean that he must use the silver to become an honest man. In the book, he says, "My brother, you no longer belong to what is evil, but to what is good. I have bought your soul, and I give it to God." Valjean leaves transformed by grace. He didn't just avoid what he deserved. He got what he didn't deserve, freedom. And he didn't just receive freedom from prison. He received freedom to make a new start, and he could sell that silver to provide for his needs. In Galatians 13 and 14, Paul says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Oh no, he says that at the beginning, sorry, of the reading. But what does that freedom look like? Well, looking at verse 13, we've already heard that Paul wrote, "Do not use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature," but next he wrote, "Rather, serve one another in love. The whole of the law is summed up in love your neighbour as yourself." Jesus came to set us free from the burden of the law, free from our sin, and for us to be free to serve others in love. Can you think of a time when you've been able to help someone with an act of kindness, however big or small? How did it feel? Well, sometimes it can be tiring to serve others, to choose to show love, if we do it in our own strength. But isn't it an amazing feeling to make a genuine difference to someone? God has created us so that we are wired to find joy in serving others, and he put his spirit within us to enable us to do that. And this morning you can serve somebody just like Abu Bakr, who, unlike Jean Valjean, has done nothing that would warrant facing further imprisonment. Sadly, he has been in chains as a result of the cruel disease of leprosy. "I'm at an age where I should be grasping opportunities but I'm struggling to grasp anything at all. Words from a 20-year-old young man. But today, you can set people like Abu Bakr free. Wouldn't it be amazing to have a world without any disabilities caused by leprosy? And one way that you can make a difference is by praying. We would love hundreds of people to receive a life-changing prosthetic leg this year. And I've brought along with me some prayer diaries. These are our annual prayer diaries. And they've got all sorts of things for you to pray about for the leprosy mission, including in Nigeria and across the world. And I'd love to invite you to take one of those home with you and pray with me and for people affected by leprosy, like Abu Bakr. And another way that you can make a life-changing difference today is by giving. And most people like to give to the leprosy mission via a direct debit. And just £8 a month would cure 4 people of leprosy in a year. What a difference that would make. And please do give what you are called to give today as well. Could you cure someone of leprosy today for £24? Or a family of 5 for £120? It costs £500 to provide someone disabled by leprosy with a bespoke prosthetic leg. That's the cost of giving someone disabled by leprosy, someone like Abu Bakr, back their mobility, independence and freedom. I brought with me my very handy card machine for anyone who doesn't carry cash. So if you would like to make a contribution, please do come and chat with me at my table later. My table's just at the back there. But any contribution, big or small, will make a lasting difference for people affected by leprosy in Nigeria and across the world. So thank you so much for your amazing kindness in enabling people like Abu Bakr to be set free from the limitations of leprosy. I'd like to end in a prayer. Loving God, we thank and praise you that your love sets us free. Thank you for the freedom that Abu Bakr will be given through his new prosthetic leg. And we pray that many more people in Nigeria will be given that same freedom so that they can flourish. And we pray in your name for an end to leprosy across the world. Amen. Amen. Reflecting on that amazing theme of freedom in Christ, let's now stand if we're able to sing our next hymn, which is Amazing Grace.